Hey, bro, don't forget, it ain't the first 48, bro. It's 60 minutes, bro.
We heard a whole lot of lip service, but hey, anybody can do that. But between them lines,
we're coming to camp. You best not miss. Even the score now. We need a score now. Back on that wall, when you hear that call, you know it's going down. We play from beginning to ending, you know how we finish. Turn at the bank, gotta handle our business. We need the ball, so it's time to go get it. Play with your heart when you hit, make me feel it. Like, you know I'm with. Come to the bank and get out of line, we sending a blitz. Say, who you with? You know who I'm with. That purple and black, and when we attack, you know what it is.
You're not locked in this zone 32. 32.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Zone. Yo, I'm fucked up, and I was doing so good. My bad.
Max, don't edit this out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another Zone 32 podcast. Zone. Oh shit! I keep saying Zone. Wow.
Zone 106.
All right, that's strike two. All right, my bad, Max.
God fucking damn it!
Don't kill me, Max. All right, I'm gonna get it right this time.
8 hours later.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another Zone 32 episode podcast. I fucked up again, but anyway, this is episode 106, and yeah, we gonna get back to the off season talk. We got my guy Grant back. Will, Drew. I guess I'm fucking up because Jake's nowhere to be found, but guess he'll be back sometime next week. But yeah, let's kick into the show.
Jake even a real person. We haven't seen him in like 4 weeks. I don't know. Is he alive?
Yeah, man, he gotta be alive. Man, he die every time and he come right back.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe this time it's stuck. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he on a 2 week streak now. So we'll see what happens next week.
Let's get into Grant status.
Pause.
I was expecting a Grant, you know, fuck you, but I didn't get that.
I mean, I was on mute.
He was muted.
Fuck you. I've been pretty consistent for a while now. I'm coming in hot.
Yeah, when you were trying to make the Ravens, you were inconsistent, but then you know, they cut you for being old, and then we were good to go.
It's true.
So who cut you? Was it EDC? Did EDC say come to the office, or was it John?
No, he would never do such things. John Harbaugh heard me.
No, Grant walked into to EDC's office, had an ice cream cone, threw it on the ground.
Ice cream cone on the ground. And the rest was history.
Oh yeah, that story was about.
Oh,
that
story was, he was talking about you. Damn.
You didn't know that was great. Yeah, that was Grant. That whole story was about.
Well, I didn't know the ice cream was gonna melt that fast. And normally my jumper is wet.
So that means something was wrong with. That means something
you watch,
was wrong with
you
the
watch
AC.
North Carolina. You watch North Carolina basketball. I feel like your jumper is not wet. Back to back national championship winning UConn Huskies. Should we discuss that briefly for all the
if we're going to discuss that, we might as well discuss how the Orioles beat up on your Red Sox today, too.
That's true. We should discuss that, too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we can discuss. You guys were, you know, cheating, stealing signs, doing all kinds of fuck shit. But
Here we go.
Why don't we discuss
how you were cheating, try to delay the start to fuck up Burns and his vibes?
I saw Evan Drellick at the game, and he told me that he's writing a book on all the cheap shit that the Orioles do. He said Mike Elias brought a lot over from Houston that I'm going to uncover in the book. So,
well, what's really sad? When a team uses the death, the cancer death of a previous player as an excuse for why a game starts late. With the fucking blue sky, no fucking weather whatsoever. Oh, 20-minute delay. Just because a bunch of fucking old fucks can't walk out and just get their asses out there on time. Celebrating a championship from 20 years ago. Get the fuck out of here. What's next? They're going to fucking celebrate Ray Bourque's championship in fucking Colorado too?
No, because, I mean, that was hockey and one for a different team, so it didn't really make much sense there.
Well, they had a fucking parade for him in Boston for it, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a big deal in Boston.
Well, but then it happened in a different city.
I understand Baltimore lacks, you know, some like.
I think it was a set.
We've never had a parade for a guy who had a fucking championship in a different city.
It was a celebration.
Orioles haven't had a parade in like 40 years. So.
Yeah, well, but we haven't resorted to having a fucking parade for someone who won a championship in a different city.
You're telling me you're a loser fan base wouldn't try to throw a parade if the Dodgers won the 2018 World Series with Machado?
No, definitely not.
Definitely would have.
Definitely not.
The amount of children on my timeline that I see talking about how Manny Machado is their GOAT is fucking sickening.
They probably didn't even watch Manny Machado play.
Manny Machado is a scumbag, and I hate him. So,
Manny Machado, he fell off.
Yeah,
he played for the Red Sox. He played for y'all too, right?
No, he fucking knocked Dustin Pedroia out for his career because he's a fucking scumbag piece of shit. And then he cried about getting thrown out.
That's just because Dustin Pedroia is a fucking shrimp.
He's the same size as you.
No, he's not. He's 100% fucking 4 inches shorter than I am.
I've stood next to both of you. You're the same size.
He's listed at 5'8", which means he's probably 5'6".
Yeah, and you list yourself at 5'10", but you're 5'4". So
no, I literally measure at 5'10".
I've yet to see you pull out a tape measure and measure yourself at 5'10".
No, you actually have seen me do that. I've showed you. I've done it for you.
Photoshop. You sent it to Calvin and asked him to edit it so that it looked like you were 5'10". It's fine. We got severely sidetracked here because you guys decided to bring up traumatic events from hours ago in my life and no respect for my privacy and time of mourning. But there was a nice little gathering of Ravens front office personnel and head coaches. I watched none of it because I was at Fenway. I'm hoping you guys clue me into what they said so I can pretend to be mad or, you know, say that John Harbaugh is like the greatest person ever, you know, who lived.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying that on Twitter, if you have to have an extreme reaction to
John Harbaugh could say that Grant was the greatest football player who ever lived, and Grant would be like, John Harbaugh is a fucking bitch.
John, it doesn't matter. John Harbaugh's a lying piece of shit. I can't believe you would say that about me.
Yeah.
Anything of note from their meeting with the media today?
What
you got, Trippy?
They said John Harbaugh was asked if Malik Cunningham, who was seen playing wide receiver a little bit towards the end of the season, is still going to be developed as a quarterback.
And what was his answer?
He gave kind of a middle-of-the-road answer.
That remains to be seen. Like he always say, we're going to take a look at him and see how he does. He's definitely developing he's definitely a developmental as a quarterback. I don't get what the fuck that tweet is. Just reading what she said.
He's developmental as a quarterback, which is, I mean, it's true, right?
He said as a wide receiver too.
Right.
He's a good athletic in person.
So is he our good Terrell athlete Pryor?
In person.
Like what's wrong? Bro, what's wrong with that answer?
I mean, it ain't nothing wrong with it. I just don't like the quarterback thing, though. I think he'd be better off like as a wide receiver.
You know what's funny? A lot of people were like, let him be a quarterback. Well, I mean, like, okay, why don't we trust the football talent evaluators? And if they think that he's capable of being an NFL quarterback, then we'll trust him to be the backup quarterback.
Well, are you saying that the people the Baltimore Ravens pay to evaluate talent know more than people on Twitter?
Yes. I am.
That's a pretty wild assertion. I don't know if you can make that. We might have to cut this part of the podcast.
Just like the reactions to a lot of the quotes from today were, as you might expect, outrageous. I mean, it's like clockwork. Every year, the reactions to these press conferences are crazy.
But see, it's a liar luncheon, though, so...
Well, it gets called the liar luncheon because people will take quotes from it and spin them out of context. I guess is the best way to put it.
And honestly, it's called the liar's luncheon because of its proximity to the draft. So it's like they're lying about their intentions around the draft more so than anything.
So like did EDC name drop any specific players from the draft?
No. No,
but he talked about that fifth year option though.
No, not really.
Not really, but
what he said was they're going to make decisions about the fifth year option after the draft.
But that's a sign right there.
That's fucking crazy because, you know, it's like shortly after the draft that they have to decide. It's crazy that he said they were going to do that.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. And
I think he's going to pick up Owen.
Me too.
If he's going to pick up, we've talked about this, but if he's going to pick up any option, it has to be Owe, because that's the guy who is going to be worth $20 million on the open market if he has a breakout year. And if he doesn't have a breakout year, he could still get like, you know, 10 to 12 million. And that's probably about what his option is going to be. So, I mean, that's the smart play. Rashad Bateman can fucking, you know, go do something else. I don't really fucking care. But the fact that people want that man to get $14 million, eat dirt, fucking, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like,
they dubbing their motherfucking mind if they think we should get him fucking $14 million. What the fuck has he done? The fuck right, like he said, do shit.
If you really are, you know, a fucking Bateman dick rider, and you think that he's, you know, been wronged all this time, and you know, it's just this is his year, like. The Ravens should be going after him and giving him like a 3-year contract and, you know, basically no guarantee or lower guarantees, but that it, you know, it has a bunch of incentives or whatever built in. Because if you really think he's that good, you want him here long term, not just for his 5th year. So the right. fact that nobody's talking about extending him long term is pretty much all the proof you need. Everybody knows that he's not that guy, that he was not a good 1st-round pick. He's just not a wide receiver one, and that's what he was drafted to be. So, I mean, just
14 million off. A year is insane to pay you that guy.
EDC also say is an average draft at pass rusher.
Yeah, that's the other. Well, pass rush is, yeah, this year is very top heavy.
And so, then like, also, oh, my bad, go ahead. My fault.
I was going to say, go ahead. I mean, you could get somebody in the 5th round that's fine, but, like, you're not going to get a superstar, so.
Yeah, like, there's a guy, Gabe Murphy, for UCLA, and they've got him mocked in, like, 5th and 6th round, and I love him. And,
oh, yeah, like, I like you.
I like Braden McGregor. Like,
huh?
I like Braden McGregor.
I wonder why.
No bias involved, but that would be my that would be my later on.
It said Eric DaCosta called the cornerback class in the draft this year solid, but not at the level of wide receiver and offensive line.
He's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, he pretty much, if I'm reading that correctly, he's pretty much, you know, tipped his hand that we're going wide receiver offensive line. Like, that's okay. What he's looking at.
He also said
– in corner, you could go middle rounds and be fine.
Yeah, he also said they spent – yesterday, they spent 9 – straight hours
all day
on offensive line. 9 straight hours they spent on offensive line yesterday.
It's the day he probably did wide receivers.
But they also said, EDC said, that there are not that many, there are not as many draftable players in this draft on their board as there were in previous classes, meaning that they will likely look to flip picks in this draft for picks in future drafts or for players. So that to me is a signal that we may see them make a move for a player ahead of the draft, like someone like Courtland Sutton.
Or move up in the draft. But I think that his point with that is more that we have, you know, closer to a final 53-man roster in his mind. That if you're using all 9 picks, that you're going to end up cutting half of them anyway. So, like, what is the point of that? So he's not picturing as many guys that crack that 53.
Basically, what he said is there's not as many underclassmen that are draftable, and they like to draft younger guys as opposed to guys who are further along. They don't want to draft guys who are older. Just because they don't want to draft a guy like, honestly, like, this is, you know, this is going to sound like hater talk, but they don't want to draft a guy like Joe Burrow,
if you're the Ravens, you're picking towards the end of every round, which means you're getting the, you know, lesser available talent. So you'd rather take a guy that could develop into something better in 3 years than take the lesser available talent that could step in and start day one. Right. I mean, I get that whole, you know, mindset. It makes sense.
Because right here, he said he hoped and prayed that one of those top 20 guys might be there at 30.
And I mean, this is the year that that could happen because God only knows who his top 20 are versus, you know, the league's top 20. I feel like once you get past 10, there's a lot of, you know, variation among teams.
He also said something that I definitely agree with, and maybe also y'all agree with too, because like we're going to have a lot of comp picks next year. And like you said, he might be on like the verge of like, you know, trading some picks or, you know what I mean, moving around. He said, we see this year's draft and next year's draft as a chance to build up the roster depth again, which is true.
Yeah, right. So that means he's looking for younger developmental guys that can, you know.
So that means he might be looking for some wide receiver.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing is, what are the key positions that you want to be deep at in today's NFL? And that's wide receiver, offensive line, and secondary.
And that's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about earlier in the chat, guys, was the Ravens love a succession plan. And that goes for front office, that goes for coaching, that goes for key positions. So, like, the fact that they just signed Derrick Henry, they're going to draft a running back that is going to be in the mold of a Derrick Henry because they want their running back to learn from Derrick Henry because he is a.
So then we're drafting Braylon Allen.
Allen. They want to draft a big bruising running back. They're going to draft. They're on the record as saying they want to go get a true X receiver. So I think they're going to trade for an X like Cortland Sutton, and then they're going to go draft an X to then learn from the guy they trade for. So I think they're going to model their draft pick after who they sign or trade for. So they have that guy to take over for the vet that they have, but they're basically building a roster where they can compete and they have the guy to jump in next year or the year after to learn and kind of fill in.
He said something about wide receivers too. He said DaCosta on whether the team's recent history in drafting first round wide receivers will impact the potential of taking the first round wide receiver again this year. He said, if there's a player that's there that we think is good to pass up on, we're going to take him. He said, boy, hey, Grant, you already know what I'm trying to say, Grant. I would love Leggett at 30. I mean, why not? Shit.
Too early.
It's not too early.
It's too early. It's too early. I get you like the guy. It's 30.
It's not that. But here's what I'll tell you. Don't get caught up in where you see him going. Like in mock drafts and stuff, because people that have him mocked in like the 40s and 50s, I'm telling you right now, there's no way that 32 NFL GMs are gonna let him fall into the 40s.
But there's no way that 13 NFL GMs is gonna let, you know, Kyle Hamilton fall to us at 14 and it happened. I'm not saying this from a personal point of bias or anything. I'm looking at this as how the Ravens operate. Is that right now Leggett has a he's tagged as like a 40 to 50 pick. So why would the Ravens pick him at 30? Because that's not getting the best value out of him.
That doesn't mean they value him there, though. That's the thing is how many times do we watch a draft and somebody gets drafted in the top 20 and they're like, whoa, that was my 48th overall player.
How many
like,
times is that the Ravens, though?
That stuff, though?
How many times is that
the Ravens? I like him, but at the same time, like, do I think Ravens take him? I don't know. But
how many times
would
are the
I
Ravens
be surprised if he's gone by the time Ravens pick at 30? Not one bit.
How many times are the Ravens are the team that makes a pick where the analysts go, oh, wow, that's way earlier than I had that guy going in the first round specifically?
That's not what we're talking about. You're talking about
it is. Like, it is what we're talking about, though.
I mean, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, a couple of them receivers, they went in the second round this year. So,
yeah,
I mean, I look at it like
not gonna make that mistake.
I look at it like 30, not bad. Now, if we was picking like in the 20s, like early 20s, late teens, or like early teens. Now, that might be a kind of little crazy, but like late 30 ain't bad. You get what I'm saying? Even if we could trade back and still get them, that'd be good. But I think it might be a team that, unless we picking high, you feel what I'm saying? Unless we picking high, yeah.
He won't make it past the Chiefs, so it doesn't matter.
The Chiefs are going to take Worthy.
That's another thing though. We don't even know what the Chiefs gonna do. The Chiefs might take him, and then we'll be regretting that shit. Like, damn. You get what I'm saying?
The Bills are gonna take a wide receiver ahead of us. I mean, that's gonna happen.
I could see him going there too. Big physical receiver. They just lost everybody.
I like his game, man. I was just watching his highlights earlier.
I've seen him getting mocked to the Bills quite a bit.
It makes sense right now after Diggs gets
and
traded.
And I ain't going to lie to y'all. I don't know why I was convinced that I was on the Keon Coleman trade. I mean, I wouldn't mind him being a Raven, but I'm not too big on it.
Calvin, you let Key talk you into that shit.
He's not bad. He's a great athlete, but his game's not going to translate to the NFL, I don't think.
I mean, we know like, why Trippy likes Keon Coleman. Like it's pretty obvious if we give it, you know, 2 seconds of thought. Why,
I know what it is.
it's very simple.
And I know why Key likes him too.
Don't get me wrong.
I still feel like he can come in and definitely be like a part. But it's just like if I had to choose him and Leggett, it gotta be Leggett, bro. Like exactly. I just feel like Leggett.
Exactly.
I just feel like Leggett is that dog. Huh?
Yeah, Keon Coleman is a guy at 62 if he's there that you think about.
Right, exactly.
He's not going to be more than an NFL two, so you got to think of where you want that to be taken.
Yeah, and so that's when you're looking at, you know, 62 or 93. It's one of those picks that's, you know, that would make sense for Keon Coleman if he's on the board.
Bro, he'll fit perfect with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be fine. I just don't want to use 30th pick on him. Adonai Mitchell is another one at 30 that I feel like has got to be in the mix.
For sure.
And
he's got a lot of measurables. Look at everything that all his measurables are great. I like when you stack him up against Leggett, I like Leggett better. I like his game for this offense. Right. But I wouldn't be mad at Adonai Mitchell at all.
I'm still holding out hope for Brian Thomas Jr., but the Diggs trade, I think, probably nicks that. I don't think that he gets past the Bills. But if he does, that's the move. That is the guy.
He's Michael Pittman Jr.
Which is significant upgrade as a, you know, ex-wide receiver for us.
It's not a knock. I'm just saying that's who he is. He's Michael Pittman Jr. Like,
I really don't care what receiver we get, because, like, the receiver that come in, I just want him to be able to contribute. You feel what I'm saying? I want him to come in and be like, hey, like that Zay Flower, like, type of performance. You get what I'm saying? Like, come in. Like,
there's only one wide receiver I don't want in the first round, and that's Troy Franklin. I want no part of
him. Yeah, I agree. But like I'm saying, it's so many wide receivers that's in the draft. Whereas though, I feel like, yo, we could at least get two. I'm like, even Jerome Baker. Like, not saying Jerome Baker like could be at 30, but if you get what I'm saying, like a later round,
like a third or fourth.
Yeah, like a third or fourth.
I like him a lot.
That would be a steal, cause like
he's a tough guy.
He tough. You feel me? I'm looking at receivers now that could just come in, but like Franklin, I think Franklin would be like a Bateman.
There's a Michigan guy. Here's what I think about too.
Is like my favorite thing about Leggett is his mentality. Like I love, you guys know. Look at everybody that I like say is my dude. There's a certain mindset that I like, and it's like, I don't want to say dog mentality, but you have to have a certain mentality to be aggressive and be an alpha. And Leggett has an alpha personality. So if you pair somebody like that with a Zay Flowers, who's got an alpha personality, and you got Derrick Henry, who's an alpha personality, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, likely, you know, Aguilar even is an aggressive, getting fiery kind of guy. So you put all these guys, you're not going to have the Batemans that just lay down. You're going to have people that fight for yards. You got people to fight for catches. You're going to have people that are doing the extra dirty work. And that's one of my favorite things about Leggett as a receiving prospect, is not only is he a physical freak and can do everything across the board, he's a prototypical X. He does everything you need him to do as a weapon as an X. But his mentality is just, he's I'm better than you. And it's not in a cocky way. It's an I know way. And like, and that's why one of the biggest reasons why, because I like people like that on my team.
Have you ever seen the Johnny Gomes grocery store video where he gives an interview talking about, you know, if you're in a grocery store and the guy the aisle over calls you a bitch, are you going to wait for security to come handle it, or are you going to come handle it yourself? I feel like that's how you scout wide receivers. You want the guy who's going to go jump over the counter and beat the fuck out of somebody.
Yes,
which
I do. I want somebody that's
maybe good, maybe problematic.
Yeah.
And it's fine when it's, you know, an opposing defender, when it's like a helpless guy at a marina or like, you know, an Instagram model that you're doing.
No more soft receivers on this roster no more, man.
No.
We need all dogs.
Look at who are the two receivers that I've talked about the most in the draft process. Xavier Leggett and Malachi Corley. And both of them have the same type of mentality. They are – I'm going to run you the fuck over, and I don't care.
But they also have that it's the George Pickens in them where they don't care if you win or lose, and it's all about them getting the yards, which might be good. It might be bad. It can be.
I can't agree with that. I mean, listening to both of their interviews, like, George Pickens is George Pickens.
But I'm saying that they both played for shit teams. At the end of the day, them getting those extra yards and them, you know, fighting for shit and being that aggressive alpha didn't lead to wins. So, like, there is something to be said about that. That, you know, when you draft a wide receiver from a loser program who is, you know, very me oriented and very much about them putting up stats, it could be a problem at the next level. It might not be, but it could be.
They had to put up stats. That was all they had. So, I mean, I see what you're saying. But I think it's not wide receiver position specific of what you're saying. Quarterback, yeah. You know, maybe a defensive lineman or a linebacker that can impact on defense, yeah. Like something like that, absolutely. Left tackle, sure. But like a wide receiver, somebody that can be schemed to stop and they still produce with no supporting cast, I think that speaks a little differently as far as the position of the wide receiver goes with what you're saying. But I do agree with what you're saying just for other positions.
I mean, but even if you look at Leggett, like you're playing soft coverage when your team's down, you're playing up against soft coverage when your team's down two touchdowns. Like that's different than where you're. But you're not gonna press him when you're winning by 14, because what's the fucking point? You know, I'm saying that like he hasn't been in that situation where you need that make or break catch because they suck.
Did you watch the first game of the season against North Carolina? Probably not, but
North Carolina
absolutely nuclear, and it was back and forth, and he could not be stopped. And that was my first, like, I had seen him before, but I never really watched him. And of course I watched that game, and the way he took over was fucking insane, and he brought down everything that went his way. And that was
how many of those defenders are playing in the NFL right now?
I mean, Cedric Gray's probably – he's a linebacker, but he's going to get drafted. But so, all the DBs are – I mean, they're going to get drafted next year and the year after. They were sophomores – I think one freshman and sophomore and a junior.
Picking on rookie ACC players is my point. It's not – again, this is not trashing Leggett. I'm not saying I don't want Leggett. I'm just saying that those kind of things are going to factor into people picking him or not. And that's why he's a 40th, 50th pick in my mind, not a top 30 pick.
What do you see my list?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very curious about what's on your list, because I feel like there's going to be some,
Wait, do you see my list? Hey, wait, you see my list?
And Drew, the UNC game, he had 9 catches for 178 yards
against grocery baggers. It's a sauce guy. This is a Sauce Gardner argument all over again. I have this with you every year when we talk about ACC football and fucking no name.
What is also – what you can't call him Sauce Gardner. You got to call him two-time first-team All-Pro Sauce Gardner.
Yep.
I should call him Ahmad Gardner, if we're being honest. But second best corner on his own team. No. New York media bias. Woody Johnson
for bought the and Jets? For
all those votes. Yeah, DJ Reed is there, CB1.
You're hopeless.
Oh, is this some fucking breaking news to you? Who guards the other team?
Hide behind those glasses, bucko.
I mean, I could take them off and say the same thing. Look. Ahmad Gardner is CB2 for the Jets.
You're just mad because your woolen agenda didn't pan out and Sauce was the dude.
I mean, Woolen has been the better pick if we're talking about, you know, like draft capital spent.
And we're not talking about capital or pick, better pick. We're talking about the better player, and we know they is.
If Tariq Woolen played for the Jets, then people would be sucking him off too. New York media bias, East Coast bias.
And if Ahmad Gardner played for the Seahawks, could you imagine him now in Michael Thomas' defense too?
Yeah, then he'd get bailed out by a, you know, supreme defensive-minded head coach, but he's still not good.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would do.
I mean, you told me he would never give up a touchdown in the NFL, and he has, so I just feel like we're...
I don't think he ever said that.
Word for word said he would not.
That's a lie.
He word for word said that he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give up a touchdown, and then he did, so...
Now we're lying on the podcast.
That's a lie.
You lied on the podcast when you said that because he did give up touchdown. All I do is tell the truth here. I don't know.
No,
I mean, that's a lie. No, I have yet to tell a lie in this exchange.
Has anybody ever seen The Burbs?
No.
Old Tom Hanks movie. He's like, "Hey, Pinocchio, where are you going?" That's what I just wanted to say. Lying on the podcast.
So you're just making, I mean, my nose has always been big. It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with what I say, just so we're all on the same page here. Did we miss anything else from the press conference of note? We lightly touched on the fifth-year options, the offensive line and wide receiver heavy talk. It seemed like when it was coming, you know, had to do with the draft. Harbaugh had the, you know, comment about Malik Cunningham. Harbaugh, have anything else dumb to say that I should be aware of so I can go overreact to it online for, you know, attention?
There was something else that Tom reacted to, and Tom's an idiot, and it caught my attention. But
That's what I'm looking for is idiot bait.
I know Hobbs did say we're going to have a heck of a team this year. You wait and you watch.
And people probably got mad at that because you know they wanted to say,
Hold on, I'm gonna go to Tom.
But how you feel about that though? I mean, it's just like, man, we had a heck of a team last year.
Yeah, we're gonna have a heck of a team next year. We're gonna have a heck of a team the year after. As long as Lamar Jackson's on the team, we're gonna have a heck of a team. I'm pretty confident in that.
Oh. Basically, it was like a vote of confidence for the offensive line. That was what it was. Hold on, I'll find the exact quote, but hold on.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been saying, and Grant has backed me up on this, is that I think the Ravens are a lot more confident in the guys they have in house than the public thinks. And I had the same vibe about Brandon Stevens last year. I tweeted it, and you know, people shit on it at the time, and then Brandon Stevens turned out to be a good corner because the team trusted him. So,
and now he due for a contract.
Yeah, but I think that there are guys on the current roster that the Ravens have penciled in as starters right now, and that they're happy going the season with them as starters, and they can be upgraded, or there could be,
the biggest one that people are just totally ignoring is Voorhees. Voorhees was drafted to be a starter.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, he's never played, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This dude was going to be a day two pick, right?
Might have been a late day one pick.
Right. Yeah. He tore his ACL. He still, what did he put up, 37 reps with a torn ACL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was Trippy who first said this, of like, let's not crown Voorhees as like the starting left guard day one, like make him earn it. I 100% agree with that mindset. We did draft Voorhees to be a starter on our offensive line at some point. We moved up late in the draft because he was still there, because that was a guy that we saw as a, you know, potential 2024 starter. He needs to show that he's capable of starting, but I think he is. And I agree with you there that he's got the potential. And if the Ravens are comfortable with him starting at left guard, then fuck it, why not?
Right. Yeah. So like what I said this either last episode or the episode before. That was a an EDC pick. That was EDC flexing his nuts on everyone else. He picked a starter round 7.
Right? You know how the NBA,
knowing damn well that he wasn't going to play last year, it was a redshirt pick.
Because we was done for real.
that's the genius part about that pick that a lot of people don't give EDC credit for, is that he was – there was, I bet you, over half of the NFL teams out there thought that he was going to go undrafted. He was going to be a high-priority undrafted free agent. But yep. EDC spent a pick on him to secure that spot and secure him for that red shirt year, which is crazy underrated, which is a crazy underrated move.
Because who gives a fuck about a goddamn seventh-round pick? And also, when you value the pick, you value a pick – if you want to value it by year, you just basically like you devalue it by one round. But if you push it 1 year back, right? So like if you trade a pick, the next year it's worth
a 2024 sixth round pick is worth a 2025 seventh round pick.
Exactly. Right. So by picking Voorhees in the seventh round, we're getting Voorhees at a 2024 undrafted free agent value, and we're getting him as a starter in 2024.
He was a drafting staff player.
Yeah, exactly. We've wasted nothing, because we would have basically, if we had taken someone with that pick in 2023, they maybe would have made the team, probably not, because we ended up we had two undrafted free agents make the team last year. So yeah, that's, I mean, we're already net positive from last year. So who, you know, it's like EDC is so good at what he does. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah. And I mean, the drafting stash play with Voorhees is good. The drafting Sala was a good move. You know, Ben Cleveland might work out to be a big factor on this team, might not, who knows. Now that, you know, Flaley again, like, it's a 6'8", 380-pound guy that plays tackle. Like, I feel like you can't miss on.
I want
Flaley
to make it, though. I want him to make it.
I would love for him to be our starting right tackle. You can't teach somebody to be that big. Like, that's just God-given talent that nobody else has. You know, you don't – there's not a lot of 6'8", 380-pound guys walking around on the street. Like, that's just a – that's a fucking skill set you can't teach somebody. And that's not to say that I don't think the Ravens should look in the draft to draft offensive linemen. But if the season started today, if the Ravens are comfortable with the guys they have on the roster, then fuck it, go with it. I don't think they've really been wrong on the offensive line besides Alejandro Villanueva. And the reality is, he was signed to be your starting right tackle, and he ended up being your starting left tackle. And that's when he did the majority of his damage. So playing a position that they didn't envision him playing, you know, kind of fucked him, but he sucked. Like, don't get me wrong. But other than him, they really have not been wrong on the offensive line. I can't think of a time in recent memory where, you know, whether it's moving Bozeman to center or, you know, just, you know, picking up Zeitler, like picking up any of these guys to fill offensive line spots, they always seem to work out. So I'm going to kind of trust the process here and let EDC and let the front office and let the coaching staff kind of work their magic on the line.
Right.
They deserve questions at wide receiver, and so that's why people are looking at that position with like a fine-tooth comb, which is fine. But I mean, everywhere else, I think you got to kind of leave them alone. They've done the right thing at pass rush. They've done the right thing in the secondary. They've done the right thing, you know, interior defensive line for the most part. They've done the right thing at linebacker. It's really only wide receiver that you can look at the results and question them and say, like, maybe you got to switch up your process or keep picking or, you know, whatever the however they get out of that rut and, you know, fill that hole. So do we want to get into Grant's top 32 list, or do we have anything else, you know, hanging out there that's happened in the last week or so that I'm not thinking of? Nothing really comes to mind for me.
Mm-mm.
So I say for this,
KVN sign. That's the only thing.
We had talked about that last week, and it was basically like you had spoken of it like it was going to happen, and then it did happen. So
yeah, it happened the next morning. So
again, that's the right move, especially with Clowney not on the market. That was the guy who has, you know, experience on your team, clearly fit here, clearly wanted to be here. So good signing, and cheap too. Like, his contract is not anything to write home about. Like, it was a good, solid pickup. Especially when you compare it to like Clowney's deal, you know, of what a guy like that got on the open market versus what we paid for Kyle Van Noy. Yeah, I mean, I really can't think of anything else that's happened. I think for Grant's list, so we have three episodes left until the draft, right? This one and then two after it.
Yeah.
So I say we start with Grant's first 12 guy or bottom 12 guys here. So 32 to 20. Then next week do, or sorry, 32 to 21. Then next week do 20 to 11. And then the week before the draft do his top 10. Is that, everybody agree with that? Or should we go in the opposite direction, do his top 10 and then?
Whatever Grant wants.
Yeah, fine, Grant, you're in charge. It's your list. Probably help if you weren't on mute.
You're right.
It's very hard to give out lists from you.
Be a fucking professional for once.
I can't. It's not in my blood.
Will is telling you to be a professional while he doesn't have his camera on. I just want that for noted for the record. So
yeah, I'll just start at 32 and then go to 21, and then I'll do 20 through 11 and then 10 through, because it's not going to change, you know, barring like a freak injury. I mean, I'm pretty sure most pro days and stuff are done. But
yeah, everybody's in bubble wrap now, I think. I don't think any of these guys are doing anything that'll, you know, put them in jeopardy, which is smart. They shouldn't. So,
all right. So this list in general is not, you know, what order anybody's going to go or anything like that. It's just strictly top bottom 1 to 32 of who I think are the 32 best players in the draft.
This is your Mel Kiper-esque, you know, big board.
Yes.
Grant's board.
The Grant's board. So 32.
Hold on. What do we call this list?
Big board, something with a C at the end. And I'm failing here at ad-libbing, but
the big board class.
Yeah, big board class.
Yeah, Grant's BBC.
Yeah, Grant's BBC.
So 32, I got Jackson Powers Johnson, center interior lineman from Oregon. He's got strong lower base, lower center of gravity, moves people, smart, high IQ. Not as good as Linderbaum, but he's got similar skill set and abilities from the interior. He can play guard.
That's what I was going to say. Is he a guy that you think – so he's a very good center. Like, I think we're all in agreement there. But do you think he has NFL guard potential?
Yes. Yeah,
like, day one. So, if you're using a first-round pick on him, you have him as your 32nd best player. That means you're thinking somebody's going to take him in the first round or should take him in the first round, I guess, if they were to go, you know, follow your list. Like, you think that day one he could step in and start at one of the guard positions?
I think if he goes first round, he's going to be a – like, he's being looked at as a center. But also, you know, it depends on how teams evaluate him within their offense. I think he does have the ability where if he gets in the right situation, so my values are pretty high, that, yeah, he could be a day one starter.
Is he a sneaky Raven, you know, somebody there they should be looking at? At 30,
I think that there's other offensive guys that offensive linemen that I would have to look at first before him. Maybe like a trade back into the second type scenario. But like I said, I don't think we should really move too much. If we do, I think it should still be within the first five picks of the second round, if that's possible. But I don't think we need to move based off the depth of this draft and how the board, you know, I anticipate the board to fall to us. You got to take the availability of what you have that's going to help you day one. Don't worry about trying to trade back and hope somebody's still there when you pick. Take your guy.
Fair.
All right. 31, I got Malachi Corley. You know, talked about him. Wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Nicknames the Yak King. You know, he had over 2,000 yards after the catch. Not receiving, but after the catch. That's pretty insane. And then I saw he had over 3 years, he had 477 missed tackles. For a wide receiver, that's freakish. And you want somebody like that that's going to play hard. You know, he can take a screen to the house. He can run routes. You know, he gets compared a lot to Debo. But I think Debo's probably more of a running back in a sense with the ball in his hands, with probably better vision. But I think Malachi Corley is all around, has potential to be a better receiver. But their game style is very similar. You know, I've talked about him a lot, so you know, I'm big on him.
Has he ever driven on a road that has more than two lanes?
I would hope so.
Will's asking if he's a dumb hick, in English.
No, he's driven on, you know, highways.
That pushes him
Kentucky,
down.
Western Kentucky University. I don't know.
That pushes him down on my board. If he was a moron, I feel like that would put him higher. So I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with him at 31, though. Also, Steve Smith had a lot of nice things to say about him, and Steve Smith saying nice things about Prochet still has never sat well with me. So I don't know. Fair.
But I guarantee you, Steve Smith saying those nice things about Prochet, he goes home at night every night and looks in the mirror and he's like, motherfucker. Why did I fucking say those things?
But he still said them, so that's my.
But you know that shit haunts him.
Yeah, but I mean, it haunted me when he said it, and I knew that he was wrong the second he said it. Yeah. And I knew he was wrong, so he should have known he was wrong.
Because you know, every mistake he's ever made, he remembers every mistake.
I'm sure he's walking around his home theater at 3 o'clock in the morning with that playing on loop, saying, "Why the fuck did I say this?"
Yeah, so. He's watching the tape.
Well, and Steve Smith Sr., like a lot of like when I evaluate receivers and then I hear how he like listen to him evaluate receivers and stuff, like we usually like the same guys.
Yeah, because he's a guy you like. I
love him.
You know,
yeah.
We all love him. That's why it was shocking when he was like gushing over fucking James Prochet.
Yeah, I was like, how much money did fucking Channel 3 pay you to say this?
He got a free sweatshirt.
Yeah, Mostone, we love you, but what the fuck did you hold up, Steve? What do you got? What kind of
call him a pedophile? Probably
extortion. Do you have over Steve Smith? How did you get him to say these nice things about your nephew?
Said I'm going to call you a pedophile publicly if you don't say nice things about him.
Did you forge him on the Epstein list? What the fuck?
Yeah, so I don't know. That is honestly probably like my biggest knock on Malachi Corley is that Steve Smith said he's good, and he also said James Prochet is good.
Now, Malachi Corley and James Prochet are not even close to the same type of player, but
no,
but just it happened, so I have to note.
Now,
that
I will say that Malachi Corley and Devin Duvernay are somewhat similar types of players, but
terrifying.
I digress.
All right, so I'm gonna put a star as I've contested 31, but Grant's not gonna fuck up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that will be under protest from the rest of the podcast.
Under protest, but fair.
Yeah. 30. I got Braden Fisk, the D tackle from Florida State. I just like, so I wrote like a word or a phrase for each person. And for his, I just put buckle up. He's tough to block. He's strong. He's quick off the ball. He's the one that, you know, I don't get too hyped up with, you know, the underwear Olympics, but there are, we've talked about it before. There are certain position groups though, that I like to watch certain things with just to see explosiveness, you know, abilities, agilities, those types of things. And he's the one that was like the rock star of the D-line group. I think he ended up running like a 4.7, 4.7, 8.40 or something, which for a 6'5", 200 and what, I think he's 260, 270. Like that's an athlete.
If shit went left with Matabike and we ended up not re-signing him, the Fisk was a guy that I was going to start pushing a first-round agenda on, so.
Yeah, which I would have totally backed that with you.
Yeah. Now that we have Matabike, I don't know if it's worth using, you know, a first round pick on Fisk, but he's a very solid player. So that one is not under protest in Drew's world.
29, Enos Rakeshaw Jr., cornerback from Mizzou. I just like his game. I put
one of my guys. One of my guys.
So scrappy. When I watch his tape, like the other thing I wrote down was that he'll go at you all game. And that's those are corners that I love. Like he's going to be in your grill the entire game and he's going to be physical with receivers the entire game. And that takes receivers out of their games. I mean, looking back into you know, the Odell versus Josh Norman matchups. Like, Josh Norman was really the only person that could shut him down, but he was just in his face after the play, like all kinds of stuff. Not saying Rakeshaw is like an after the play guy, but he's a guy that's going to frustrate wide receivers, and he has a really big skill set with his abilities as a corner in general. And he, you know, he makes great plays on the ball. But
I want you to put a plus. I want you to put a plus next to his name because he's got a good name too. So, you know, that's just a added bonus. Just
star
your
and
name's
a plus.
Your name's Enos Rakeshaw. Like, you have to be really good at football, or else people are going to bully you.
28. I got J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama. I put he plays angry and uses his hands and feet well. So when I watched him, you know, a lot of he's going to punch and he's going to extend his hands and use his hands well. And he's, you know, he's a strong guy in the run game, and he's a great pass protector.
That Michigan game soured him for me because they were just fucking running train on Alabama's offensive line.
They ran train on everybody that game, though.
Yeah, they did. But, yeah, I mean, J.C. Latham got fucking turned around a lot that game. Looked like a vintage Ronnie Stanley performance.
Is why he's kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't want to say I've got him as the 28th player, but I've also got him as, I think, my fourth or fifth tackle. So, like,
that's what I say, is your second tier down for offensive tackle, I assume.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. 27, my guy at tackle, Kingsley Sumatea. You know, he's an elite athlete, right tackle. He gets a lot of knocks, people saying that, oh, he might be a little bit of a project. He's not. He's young, but his athleticism, you put him on the right side. I think he translates better to a right tackle than a left tackle in the NFL, which fits what we essentially need right now, which is why he's a guy that I would not be mad at 30 whatsoever.
Does he have left tackle upside? Is that a guy that
he played left tackle.
So is that why people view him? I'm saying that, like, right now, if you were to put him on an NFL starting line, his ideal position would be right tackle. And so do people view him
for
as a
us,
project?
Yes.
I'm just saying in general, I think I agree with you that would be where he would be most successful in the NFL right this second,
yes.
Like coming out of the draft. So
he would be a guy you know how the Cowboys used, what's his face, Tyler Smith?
Yeah,
out of Tulsa, how he played guard, but he was a tackle, and then now he's their dude at tackle. So, like, I could see some situation like that with him being, you know, an immediate right tackle, contributing, playing well there, and then eventually, you know, year two, year three, move into the left side for somebody and being, like, their future on the left side.
So, I'm good with him ranked there. No beef on my end. I'd maybe put him higher, but just because I think line's a little bit more important than other positions.
It is. There's some guys that I like. 26, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia. The comment I put for him is just smooth as butter. Like, his separation, his route running, it's next level. I mean, when you think of, like, his route running, you think of, like, he would come in as a rookie and be one of the more elite route runners in the league. Not saying receiver in the league, but route runner in the league. Like, his abilities, you know, with his releases, the way he stems routes, the way that he knows how to set up defenders. Like, he's savvy, high IQ. He's familiar with Munkin's offense, which I've seen him recently mock test at 30. Not sure how I'd feel about him at 30. I wouldn't be overly ecstatic, but I wouldn't be mad. But his abilities as a wide receiver are he's going to get open, and he's open. It's not a Rashad Bateman, I'm open every play. Like, he legitimately is a tough cover, and you have to respect his route running.
I read coming out of the Senior Bowl that some guy was looking over his cornerback notes, and he said that every corner that he was looking at struggled with Ladd McConkey. Nobody else, so. Yeah. Just, you know, interesting that he is seems to do well against everybody.
And he can play multiple receiver positions too, which is another, you know, plus. I mean, I think he excels more in the slot, but he can play Z as well. 25, I have Jerzan Newton, D-tackle from Illinois. For him, I put he knows when to use his power and speed, and he's savvy. He's got both power and speed. He knows how to set up offensive linemen. You know, He'll swim to the inside and get off the ball quick and split and get interior pressure. And then the next play, he'll set up like he's going to and then just bull rush somebody back into the quarterback. So, I mean, he's another one that, you know, the D-tackle group isn't super, super deep like it normally is as far as, you know, maybe 6-7 guys going in the first two rounds, if not maybe more. My top 32, I have 3 defensive tackles. And my highest ranked defensive tackle, I have at 16. So it's not a strong, super strong D tackle class, but all of them can play. And all 3 of them that I have get interior pressure. And I think that's a huge advantage and something that GMs look for nowadays more than ever versus the run clogging defensive tackle. They want the interior pressure defensive tackle because a lot of teams with the passing league are going more to 4-man fronts. Which you need.
They want the next Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and you want the Aaron Donald because you don't have to add a fifth all that time. You know, you want to add a fifth a lot with 4-man fronts depending on down and distance. But when you got a 4-man front and you have interior guys that can put pressure with your exterior guys, that it's more of an asset and it's a more of a value pick for a team to get a D tackle that can do those things.
And interior pressure means a lot more than a guy coming off the edge. Like, you're running down a quarterback right to his face, you're going to affect a throw a lot more than if you're coming off his blind side and he can't even see you coming. Yeah. So that's definitely the new way of the NFL. So no star on that one. I agree with it.
24, I got Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson. I have Gamer next to him. He just does a lot of things. I mean, he's a
nerd. Plays video games. Nerd. I don't want him.
Watch him. If anything, watch him. You'll forget about the video games. But he's twitchy. He can play outside. He can play inside. There was a play last year against North Carolina. I forgot who was running the ball. Was getting ready to score, and he hawked him down, kind of like DK Metcalf ish. And stripped it right before the goal line. But those types of hustle plays in combination with what he can do as a cornerback and his skill set, you look for stuff like that in a guy, and you want somebody that's going to kind of, you know, make those effort plays. You know, that's where, you know, like Snead screwed us in the AFC Championship game, you know, the hustle play of punching the ball out at the goal line. You know, there's a difference in making a play as a corner, making a safe tackle, or you know, tackling a guy after he catches the ball, lets him score. And there's a difference in a guy that's going to be aggressive to the ball and try to make that play, try to make that punch. He's that type
plays
of
through the whistle. Plays through the whistle.
Plays through the whistle.
I'm good with that pick. Will protested it, but I'm good with him being there.
23, I got Amarius Mims. I have him at 23. I have him in front of Latham and Kingsley. I would like Kingsley over him if they're both there at 30, just because I like the athleticism more. Mims is just a wall. He's a massive human being. You know, doesn't get many penalties. I'm not sure if he had one or something like that. There was a stat sheet that came out about it, and he also doesn't allow a lot of sacks. So I mean, you know, that's somebody that you want to protect you. He translates strictly as a left tackle. I don't think he has the mobility to be a right tackle. And that's kind of why, you know, I like athleticism. You know, it's nice having a guy that's a massive wall and everything. And that's one of the things that I think holds Falele back is that he doesn't move the best. And, you know, you want your guys on the outside to have a smidgen of athleticism now with all the different types of edge rushers that there are and with the different types of pressures that defenses are able to bring now from those 4-man boxes or those, you know, those 4-man fronts. So, I mean, I think he's going to translate to the right team in a good spot, but he's a little less mobile than I would normally like a tackle to be.
I think Mims is a better NFL prospect because what you said, like you can put him on most teams and he's just that wall left tackle. So yeah. For the Ravens needs, he doesn't quite fit them, but for the NFL in general, he's the better prospect.
Correct. Yeah. 22, Cooper DeJean, Iowa. I just put athlete versatile. You know, he was a corner. They're translating him to kind of a box safety. I think that he's a way underrated athlete. Like, people are like, always a white corner. There's a white corner, this and that. Like,
you know that calling a white, you know that calling a white guy an underrated athlete is like the most cliche thing. Like, are you going to tell me that he's the last guy in, first guy out, or from guy in, last guy out, and, you know,
really hardworking guy,
high IQ, you know, high motor,
brings his hard hat to work every day.
You know, makes maybe not the most athletic guy.
Hey,
in the
Grant,
field, but makes the most
Grant, does he bring his lunch to work in a brown bag?
That's why I said lunch bail guy.
Only when he starts work at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Him and Drew.
4:30. 4:30.
They commute together. They carpool.
They walk. They work. They walk to work uphill both ways.
Mm-hmm. In the snow.
But he's also he brings another dynamic too because he's a special teams guy. You know, he plays special teams. He's a great punt returner.
He just screams hard. He screams Jim Harbaugh guy to me.
He really does. He really does.
And like Jim Harbaugh might trade out of five just so that he can take Cooper DeJean and not lose his job.
And he's got really good ball skills too. Like he's around the football a lot and he makes great breaks on the ball. Really smart guy.
I watched him enough at Iowa to, you know, like he is a very solid player. The white corner memes are funny, but like he is an actual solid player.
And then 21 is your guy. Brad Thomas Jr. I just put down lean machine. Like he's a real skinny long guy, but he runs great routes. He's tough to defend. I mean, when you have a guy that size that can move like he does and has the ball skills that he does, you know, he's a weapon in any offense. Then like I compared earlier, you know, my comp for him is Michael Pittman.
Yeah. I mean, so you made it through the first, what do you give, 12 guys? Yeah, first 12 guys, you only have one contested pick. So
Sounds like a Devontae Smith, maybe a little bit bigger Devontae Smith.
Definitely big. Yeah, definitely like an upgraded Devontae Smith.
I mean, Devontae Smith, all the worries about Devontae Smith coming into the league, too small, blah, 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 bullshit. All those worries are nonsense. He's been better than advertised.
He doesn't get hit. Like, that's the thing that people don't seem to grasp about. You know, he's played his whole life that size. Like, it's not like he's just going to start getting hit hard in the NFL. Like, he knows how to brace himself, I guess, is my point.
He's like the Lamar Jackson of receivers. Like, he's elusive.
But it's the same thing with Lamar. Guys are like, oh, he's a skinny 6'3 guy. He's going to get fucking killed in the pocket. But people forget that he's played his whole life at that same size.
And also, that's a misconception about Lamar Jackson. He's not. He's 220.
And I would say when he got drafted, he was pretty small.
He was. But when he comes into the season now, 220, and by the end of the season, he's 230. He's a big guy. He's 6'2", 6'3", 220, 230 by the end of the season. He's not a small guy, but Devontae Smith is a slight guy. He's around 6 foot, but he's like a skinnier guy. But
yeah. Slim Reaper
goes up and gets the fucking ball.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, Slim Reaper.
He goes up and gets the ball, does not play scared. Like, I think people were expecting Marquise Brown out of him, and he's not Marquise Brown. He plays to contact, but he avoids big hits.
He's smart about it.
Yeah, he's smart.
He's smart.
Smart.
You went hard there. You went had.
I've been around, you know, Boston people all day. This is when the accent's going to come out, is after Fenway Day. So just people should probably get used to that. I try to avoid it since I get, you know, bullied like this, but there's no escaping it. It exists. Is Trippy alive?
He's there now. I see him.
Trippy, what are your thoughts on Grant's BBC list?
Man, I like it. Oh. I mean, yeah.
Pause for you. Pause for you.
He was waiting for me.
Big pause. Big pause.
Walked right into it.
It's a pretty cool list so far.
Oh, you like it's a cool BBC list, is that right?
I said it's a cool list.
Yeah, that's right.
I only you can only catch him once. Trippy's too sharp for getting caught twice.
Yeah, because I was over here saying, oh, pause. I was on mute. A couple things y'all was saying, like, oh, pause. Like, where Grant was like, yeah, he got good ball skills. Like, oh. Yo, Brent, I blame the young generation, man, because, like, I'm too old to be saying this shit, but it do be kind of funny. But sometimes you be like, whoa, pause.
You got to always have your head on a swivel. You always got to be ready to, defend yourself against those kind of allegations. So, goddamn kids, fucking everything.
Somebody was in my comments earlier. Remember when I made the it was a video I posted on LeGette where Steve Smith was talking about him, and all I said was I always wanted DK, and I see somebody in the comments talking about no Diddy. I'm like, huh? Then I had to go back to see what I said. I was like, I always wanted DK, but I mean,
what the fuck? That's no pushing. That's stretching it. Said I always wanted D. If you always wanted D, I could get the the no Diddy there, but you added the K at the end, so I think you're safe.
All right.
I mean, I could see. Was DK lowercase or capital?
No, it was both capitalized.
Okay, so that's okay. If it was, I always wanted DK, and they both were lowercase, and it would look like you were just saying, I want a dick.
Yeah. You know his name's DeKalen, by the way? So, DeKalen Dobbins and DeKalen Metcalf?
Yeah, I think we need to get DK here to purge. It's like a, what's that thing that...
Yeah, you're just holding your fist in front of your face saying, what's that thing?
That Kyrie did?
Oh, Sage.
That Sage thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
how'd that work out for Kyrie?
I'm just saying we need DK to come. He's like, he is Sage for that like style of name.
Yeah, he's got to redeem the name. I agree.
Yeah.
He's gonna come here and answer for all people who have a letter followed by Caitlin.
Maybe I can talk to Mike and see if he can send us DK for a second round draft pick and bait
me. Be like, hey Mike, you lied to me after the season. Send me DK Metcalf to make up for it.
That was a fucked up lie.
Be like, Mike, I'm still hurt that you lied to me after the AFC Championship game. I would feel a lot better if you traded me DK Metcalf. Thanks. Love Trippy. I think that's what you got to do. That's your task for the week.
Dang, yo, he really said he wasn't going nowhere. That shit crazy.
Just lied straight to your face. Kind of a dick.
But we got Zach, though, man. Zach gonna get them boys right. Shout out to Zach. That's my guy right there.
Yeah, I'm excited for to see what he does. You know, what wrinkles he adds to what Mike McDonald already kind of started over there. All right, so next week we have 20 through 11 on Grant's list, and maybe we'll have some some more news. I mean, JLC is probably going to freak out on the radio tomorrow because it just seems what he does.
What's the list? What's the Grant list?
I'll just go 32 to 21. Jackson Powers Johnson 32, Malachi Corley 31, Braden Fisk 30, Enos Rakeshaw Jr. 29, J.C. Latham, 28. Kingsley Suamataya, 27. Ladd McConkey, 26. Jerzan Newton, 25. Nate Wiggins, 24. Amarius Mims, 23. Cooper DeJean, 22. And Brian Thomas, Jr., 21.
I appreciate you reading that again, but I was just trying to get... Right, I was waiting for Will to say BBC list, the grand BBC.
Hold up.
But what you
have? No, we're good. I'm just doing math. We're good.
Oh, what you thought?
Next week's going to be 10, and then the week after that's going to be 10.
I got you.
Yeah, then I'll be 32 because 10 plus 10 plus 12 is 32.
Yeah. I'm just. Every time, you know, the zeros kind of fuck things up. But no, we're good. We're all set.
No, you was trying to say something. Well, 50, was wrong, well, but she was wrong.
Well, 52 times 2.
We're good. 104. I'm not that fucked up.
All right. It's good. Yeah, you're not falling asleep.
It will. 30 plus 2.
30 plus 2. I know what 30 plus 2 is. That's easy. Right. Hey, what's What's 58 times 2?
116.
What's 3 plus 2?
You're trying to hold up your bottle, but it's like fading into your
background. Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
What's 3 plus 3?
6? What are we doing here?
I mean, yeah, that's how many times our running backs got the ball.
That's fair. It is worth bringing that up.
Yo, that shit was funny as shit. Look, I called into the radio earlier, right? So they was like, hey, my guy, Trippy. I was like, hey, man, I want to give out this six-leg parlay real quick. I said, it's a six-leg parlay because that's how many times the Ravens running backs got the ball. Yo, they was dying laughing.
They should have hung up on you.
Hey, the radio, they always show me love, man. Shout out my guys and them over there.
Even Jason
Lockeform and all them, although, you know. Yo, that picture had me dying laughing. Yo, I wanted to retweet that shit so bad. Yo.
Why don't you do it now?
No, I ain't going to do it. It's certain stuff I don't know. I like certain stuff, but trouble. You feel me? I be trying, you know. I gotta keep the good people. I gotta keep the good people on my side. Well, if you get
Trippy's not built for the starting internet wars with fat retards from 105.7 named Jason Lockenfor.
I didn't say that. I mean, into the radio station or Will.
You should have Will and I call in. I have some questions for him. Give me the VIP line, and I'll call in. I have some pressing issues I'd like to discuss with them.
They gonna hang up while you fast as shit. Click up.
Well, what would be faster, me saying fuck by accident in a conversation or them hanging up on me? Is the real question.
But you know what I learned though? You can say bitch on the radio.
Oh, it's good to know. So I can call in and say, Jason, why are you such a fucking bitch? And then only one word gets blanked out, and then I get dropped.
But I still don't understand that shit, because when I went to the party, I was saying, because the day they hung up on me, I was asking, and he was like, yeah, you said shit. And I'm like, I ain't say shit. But they were saying I could say, well, I mean, I wouldn't ever call the try cuss anyway, but I just feel like saying the bitch is just, like, crazy.
Bitch seems more offensive than shit. That seems weird that you can say.
Well, I'm glad they said that then, so maybe.
Bitch is, there's an application for that, you know? It means something.
So does shit.
Well, but shit is like a slang term. Bitch actually means something.
It's poop.
Yeah.
But it's slang, though. Bitch actually means something.
Shit. All words, this might be some breaking news, but all words actually mean something.
No, but shit is a slang term. Bitch is an actual word for a female dog. It's not a slang term. It's an actual term. Now, it's a crude term. It has come to not be used in like normal.
So that's like I call in the radio station tomorrow. And I'd be like, hey, man, I would have hit on my parlay, but
that bitch Rashad Bateman couldn't catch the ball.
Shit. When I looked at my parlay, I was like, shit.
yeah, exactly. You probably said it. You didn't even know it.
No, that shit was funny that day, though. They was like, come on, guys.
You keep saying it, so you don't even know you say it.
Look, they was like, this is not the podcast. And I was thinking to myself, like, damn, maybe I did say that and I thought I was on the podcast. I don't know.
They said that this is not the podcast?
Yeah.
Somebody's listening to it.
Well,
No. I mean, they probably do listen to it, but I'm saying they must have said it like that. I'm just saying, you know, like a podcast is different. Like, you can cuss. You can basically, like, do what you want, but on the radio, they got sensitized stuff.
We run a clean cut podcast here. We don't swear.
Of course not. Rob Long is not on that podcast, is he? Or not on that show, is he?
What? I mean, he on the morning show.
Yeah, he's on the morning show.
I don't know who any of these people are. So.
No, I like Rob Long. He's not on that. He's too highbrow for that kind of show.
Rob Long, Jeremy Card, and Ed Norris, they on the morning show. That's the Big Bad Morning Show.
Yeah.
And then you got Bob and Vinny. That's the afternoon show. Or is that considered the morning show slash afternoon show? And then
that's afternoon drive time.
Right. And then you got the Inside Access show with Jason Lockerford, Ken Wyman, and Tim Barbale. And then later on you'd be having like the it all the depends. Night show. Like you'll have Cordell the Shaking Up with Sports, or you'll have like Tim Barbale, he'll have his hour show, or you might have the Glenn Clark and Rita show.
I assume Cordell is gunning for the 2 to 6 slot. That's why he blocked me. But
hey, bro, I was ready. Look, I ain't gonna lie. Look, when I was with him, right? Because bro, you know how I am. When I got the lick at me, bro, I start asking questions. So
I was very asked him
like, "Damn, why you blocked my man Dre?" But I was like, "No, I ain't gonna fuck the vibe up because it seemed like it was a good vibe, and I ain't want him to, like, you know, I don't know if you said something wrong to him or what. It probably would.
I looked. All right. So typically, when I find a random account that blocks me, I search their at with my, you know, in my tweets, and I didn't say anything to him, so I don't know why I did that guy. Other than it was suspicious timing because I called, you know, JLC a fucking lot of words on the podcast.
Why do people always send the winning parlays? Like, why they don't ever send you like the link so you can think about tailing it or something? Like, I don't understand.
Well, because they don't send the losing parlays. They post the winning ones after they win.
Right, but still send the link though. That's
yeah, but
that's
then you'd have to put in like 30 parlays and then, you know, one hits.
Yeah, but I'm saying the live bets though, not like them. I'm talking about like the live bets.
It's really hard to share live bets, man. The bullets are flying. You got to fucking go. I'm more concerned with getting the bet in and telling you about the bet.
That shit ain't hard.
I mean, look, like I got PTSD from fucking jackass Cam Spencer missing that fucking layup to end first half yesterday. And then I hit a live bet, but I was too pissed off from that to even consider sending a live bet.
Bro, I was so fucking mad about that game, bro. What I say in the group chat, bro, I was like, damn, why the fuck the game gotta come on at 9:20?
Well, I mean, all day you're Purdue's gonna win, Purdue money line, Purdue this, Purdue that. This is your fault. You did this to yourself.
Man. I ain't gonna lie, I blame Jeremy Kahn because I'm in his Telegram shit. And you already know I was riding with Kentucky, UConn. Remember, I kept saying -11.5, and then I think the odds went down to -6.5. Then I tweeted 6.5, but I tried to tweak it, though. You feel me? But, I mean, it's all cool, though.
I mean, UConn in 2 years, the last 2 years of tournament games, 13 was the closest game. They've covered the spread every game. They're just – it's free money. FanDuel must fucking hate Dan Early. It's the only thing I can think. Fucking taking him back on his back. Free money. I think that's right. I think that's it for this week. We got, you know, 11 through 20 from Grant next week. Maybe we'll have some interesting shit that happens in between. Maybe we'll, Red Sox win next 2 out of 3 and I'll fucking tell all of you to eat a dick. And then,
well, I don't think that's happening because I'm man Grayson. He going to go for the sweep. Boy, you better hope we don't win tomorrow, because if we win tomorrow, my man Grayson, he come out that motherfucker 10
relax.
Ks.
Relax, Kevin Millar. 10 so Ks. I'm getting shit on for fucking 2004, you know, tribute video, and then you're quoting Kevin Millar from 2004 now. Don't let us win tomorrow, you know.
Yo, that was fucked up. They was like, yo. It's like, yo, where the fuck Dre at? Yo, why the fuck the game delay? I'm like, yo, it's the Tim.
I'm fucking busy. I'm fucking slinging Trulies to the white women of America, and I'm out here.
You ain't like my man what's his name? Clancy. Yeah, you ain't like Clancy.
Yeah, that's Clarny. No, it's Clarny. You got it right the first time. What kind of name is that? Can't even get the goddamn man's name right.
Look, Will over there. I'm surprised Will ain't say nothing yet. Yo, that man been doing that. Yo, shout out my man Clancy though, man. He been doing that shit for years, man.
50 years.
Fraud.
You know what really was touching though? When he was like, yeah, man. I be saying, like, I'm serving grandkids now, great, great grand. I'm like, what the fuck?
You know how many IDs I look at that say it's a 2002 birthday? I'm like, fuck you, you're not 21. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's 2024, never mind. Shit's hard. People.
Oh, so you got? Oh, you gotta check the IDs every time.
Yeah, that duh. I can't sell the fucking children. I do my job correctly. You know, ID everybody. 2 drinks per person. You know.
They only can get 2 at a time.
2 per person. 2 per ID.
Nice.
We run a real professional ship.
When they stop serving beer at baseball games? I forgot.
7th inning.
Yeah, 7th inning.
Or boy,
fans be sick as shit, boy. It be a playoff game when they got going overtime and shit, and they ain't serving no more fucking beer.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't fucking plan ahead and don't go buy 2 more in 7th inning stretch and fucking stash them under their seat. This is like America 101 here. I gotta teach people all these fucking life hacks. It's disgusting.
I just always just imagine, boy, if NFL games, you could bring your own bottle. Boy, I could just imagine how the stadium would be.
Yeah, somebody would be on the fucking field trying to like fight the quarterback after throwing an interception. That would be a real bad idea.
Hey, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Yo, you fucked my parlay up, yo.
Somebody would take a bottle of Hennessy to the quarterback's head after he fucking came on the sideline. That would be the end of bringing your own bottle.
Bro, look, I ain't going to lie. Look, see, I was trying to be respectful because, like, remember, was it something happened at the AFC Championship game? I don't know if they showed it on TV, but people started throwing shit on the field.
Probably the missed pass interference or something.
And look, I ain't going to lie. It was crazy because, like, yo, like, you know how you just looking and you can see the lights, like the little glare or whatever.
Yeah.
Bro, I just see a big ass beer can just come launching right down in the end zone. I'm like, oh shit. Then I had my bottle of water. I was thinking about talk, because that's how mad I was. I was mad as shit at that ref. He ain't call that interference, pass interference.
If you're going to be an asshole and throw shit on the field, at least fucking hit the guy.
Like, see, but look. Shit. See, look. No. But see, that's what I was about to say, though. I really see when I was going through it, like where the ref was at, he had his back turned, bro. I knew I would have lost that shit right at his head. Like, I knew I would have, bro. But
you were probably seeing 3 refs at that point, though. So
I don't give a shit. I don't care. I hope all 3 of them was huddled up. Boy, they would have hit one of them. I hope for some reason.
I'm saying there was 1 ref, but you were seeing 3 copies of him sitting on the fucking sideline.
Oh yeah, because I was drunk as shit. I don't even know how the fuck I made it in the game. I blame Will though, man. I was lit.
He's a bad
me.
Yeah, it's your fault.
I was lit.
I hung out with Trippy before the divisional game. He made it in fine. He was coherent. There was no drinking. Fucking...
It was those YouTube kids, man. I didn't do anything. I didn't.
You
nothing.
Didn't stop him. You didn't stop him.
Yeah, that boy, he gave me some grain apple
E&J.
Yep.
He was drinking, he drank a whole fucking bottle of E&J. Will, a Will, whole fucking was, a water bottle Will, of E&J.
That shit was crazy though. He kept on saying, huh, man. Yo, I took about 5 good shots of that shit.
No, Trippy. You drank the whole thing.
No, he still had a whole. No, hell no. I ain't drink shit. Hell no. If I would have drunk the whole thing, I wouldn't have made it in that game.
I got news for you, Trippy. You drank the whole thing.
No, see, you've been drinking since 4 o'clock. Is that the name?
Yeah, that day, I had not been drinking.
Unreliable character witness right now.
No, that day I had not been drinking. I didn't drink until after you finished that water bottle. And then Trippy's you were bumming fucking beers off everybody. You were getting beers. You got 2 beers at one point. You put 1 in your pocket. I said, let me get a beer. You said, no, I need this for later. You wouldn't even give me a beer. I had to go get a beer off somebody else.
I gave you the beer.
No, you didn't. I had to go get my own beers off someone else.
Hey, Drew, you could tell he drunk because I gave him that beer.
No, you didn't.
Was it a Miller Lite? It was something with an M, but it was like one of them old gray cans, like it's like a caffeine, like Pepsi old.
Miller High Life. High Life.
That's what it was. See, look. No,
it was a Miller
Champagne
Lite.
And beers.
I gave you a Miller Lite.
I gave you the Miller Lite because remember somebody else gave me a drink and I'm like, damn, this shit was good. It was something raspberry. And he was like, well, let me just get, I'm like, you know what? Shit, go ahead. Cause I ain't going, what I say, I probably don't drink that shit anyway.
I wasn't
That's
drinking
what
any
I
fucking raspberry shit. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your trash.
It was like a long, skinny. It was like a long, little skinny clam.
No, I was. I didn't drink any shit. Of that shit. I didn't drink that.
We was all walking around and shit, looking for fucking coal and shit. Walking around the whole fucking stadium trying to find a motherfucker that looked just like Mark Andrews. Finally find him.
Don't say
Spence.
That. Now he's gonna be fucking walking around with his fucking chest pumped up. Now he's gonna think he's 5'7" instead of 5'6".
I mean, he do like Mark Andrews though. I kept on when he was on Sarah and Bobby show. I kept on saying that. In
you
the
know
comments.
Those you know the Russian stacking eggs. Cole's like the step before Mark Andrews on that.
Man, I ain't gonna lie though. I'm sorry, Cole. If you listen to this, man, I blame you. Like, bro, like it's just.
Lamar got hurt the last time he went. Lamar got hurt in 2022 when he or 2023 when he went. Well, but still 2022 at that point.
It's just I think his vibes at the beginning of the game. You get maybe that was a sign. I should have knew something right. It was just you know what I mean.
Hey, look, man, they tell you, see something, say something, and you
I
said nothing.
I told him, I said,
so
come on, Cole, why are you looking like that, man? We're going to be celebrating today.
You got to tell the authorities.
And every time I just kept looking to my right, I said, damn, I just can't wait to see that happy Cole. And I just never got a chance to see it. It was just that stuck look like this the whole time. Like,
yeah, I was like watching a car wreck, so I definitely, on television.
I was waiting to see that.
Grant is eventually just going to disappear. His head keeps like getting smaller and smaller. Eventually,
yeah,
just see
yeah. It's 12:07. My bad.
Yeah, we should probably wrap.
We get carried
up.
Away, man. Well,
wow, look at that, a whole person. There he is.
I gotta be on my Jake shit, man. You know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna wrap this shit up. Next week we'll be back with we'll be back with Grant
11 through 20,
right? Yeah, 11 through 20 draft picks, top 30 or 32, however you want to say it. But anyway, it's time for me to die.
Hey, hold on, before you die, tomorrow Drew's gonna die when Jackson Holiday kills him. Now you can die.
Died from some 19-year-old pussy. Fucking.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie though. He do like a little ass girl though. That shit crazy.
but he will fucking murder you.
There's no
shot. Fuck his ass up in baseball.
No, beat the shit out of
Jack. Sign me. But yeah, anyway, it's time for me to die.
See ya!
That was great. That was phenomenal.
Zone 32.